This is Ken Lubin, the host and founder of the Executive Athletes Podcast, and welcome to this week's episode. I want to thank everyone that's been listening, and thank you for the comments and feedback. They're awesome and incredible help in this journey to making this podcast better and better each episode. Once again, this is unscripted and unedited, as I believe it's the best way to get to really know the guest. And this week's guest is a fellow by the name of Robert Paulson, and I took a quote from his webpage, his executive coaching webpage, and I loved it. And we'll start with that, and it's from Pete Carroll. Each person holds so much power within themselves that needs to be let out. Sometimes they just need a little nudge, a little direction, a little support, a little coaching, and the greatest things can happen. Robert has been a successful coach for most of his life. Over the past 25 years, he's coached hundreds of clients on how to have more success. The people he works with are executive leaders, high potentials, and critically important individual contributors. They are great at what they do, and the organizations they serve know it. His mission is to help others achieve more success, to help them have whatever it is they want to have in order to be happy. Robert is a sole practitioner and entrepreneur, and has recently started a clothing brand, an inspirational brand called Status Sports. And Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ken. It's an honor to be with you.
No, this is great. You know, and we've been chatting back and forth, and we're talking a little bit about, you know, achieving and peaking in life and different focuses on, you know, success in life. But, you know, tell us a little bit about your story. Tell us who Robert is as a person, and, you know, from a 35,000 foot overview.
Oh, okay. Okay, here we go. About me. Well, from the starters, I was one of those typical, I would say, average kids who just enjoyed playing sports. And most of the sports that I played when I was younger was outside, playing in the streets. We would play football and baseball and basketball and hockey and wrestling, and basically we did it all. And that was the environment that I grew up in. And as I grew up and went to high school, it was a little bit different. I chose a different path. I chose a different kind of fun. And I kind of left sports behind and just enjoyed life a little bit differently. And went to college for a short period of time, was bored, and really just wanted to get out in the world to make money. And that's what I did. I left college early, got into business, and made a lot of money as a young kid before the company I worked for went out of business. And then from that point, that's when me being an entrepreneur really kicked in. I started my own company from a garage, and grew it into an international business and into a $100 million business, really, before I got greedy and experienced what that was like, and I lost everything. And that was very, very uncomfortable. But from losing everything is really when I was opened up to some of the biggest opportunities that I've ever been exposed to is through losing everything. Very uncomfortable. So I would say I'm an ordinary guy who's just experienced some things along the way and just woke up late in life and started really paying attention to what's most important. So the quote you read from my website, I almost feel as if it was, you know, if he was talking to me and getting that nudge and getting a little bit of support. So, yeah, to be very direct with you, I'm just excited to be here. Some of your guests have just achieved so much. So it's just great to be, you know, on your show right now.
No, and it's amazing to have you on. So tell us a little bit about, so you didn't graduate school, you went and started your own business. Tell us that journey, because I think that's actually becoming more and more of a journey again in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. When I left college early, I left because my parents, my dad's one of 15, and my mom grew up as the son of a farmer, a tobacco farmer. And they raised us with some level of independence and always got to us, make money. To be successful, you got to go out there and make money. So that was planted in the back of my mind. And when I was going to college, for me, it just felt like repetition of memorizing things. And you know, the voice in the back of my head was, go make money. And that's what I did. So I left. I actually, you know, left to travel across country with friends, a Rasta and a Deadhead, but I'll leave that for another, for another
time. Sounds like fun.
yeah, it is. and it was, and it was so much to learn. But when it came to, you know, making money, that's what I did. I went to work for a small equity firm here in New York, and the environment back in the 90s was just work, 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 make money, and that's what I did. My focus was to just make money, work hard, be the hardest worker in there, first one in, last one out, and just make money. And that's exactly what I did. I was almost blinded by money. That was the most important thing to me. And that was my focus 100% of the time, was just make money. And I made a lot of money as a young kid, 20, 21 years old, making hundreds of thousands of dollars, and, you know, almost basically living at home and having all the nicest things in life. But that's the one thing that one of the many things I really learned is that, you know, if money is your only focus, be careful, because you'll never have enough of it. And that's basically what happened to me, is as the company I worked for went out of business, I then said to myself, you know, I really didn't get a fair chance at this. You know, I really want to pursue, you know, being in this investment world. And I said, you know what? I had an issue trusting, because the company went out of business. So I had an issue trusting people. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start my own company. And I started out of a garage. My wife, we had our first child. Another was on the way. And I just believed that I could do it. And I started off with just a client or two, and I grew it into an international business. And I was traveling back and forth to the Middle East and Europe. And I had residency in the Middle East, which is a big thing for, you know, somebody here in the States on Long Island. And again, that's just me being blinded by money, and I was making tons of it, and greed got the best of me. You hear stories about greed, and sometimes you think you're the last person to experience it. But I think if we're giving trophies out to people who are greedy, I think I got a pretty big trophy. And because of that, I went through a very, 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 very difficult time in my life, going below zero. That was not easy.
Wow. And yeah, going from a, you know, $100 million business to below zero, and talk about, you know, a shot to your ego and probably, you know, your soul at that point. But was your soul telling you to go after the money, or was the soul telling you to move forward? Tell us a little bit about that and making that transition.
I love the distinction between ego and soul. My ego was the one who got me in trouble. The ego is the I, you know, the soul is us and we. So my ego is the one who got me in trouble. And if you would have asked me at the height of that part of my life, if I had an ego, I would have said no. And it wasn't until I experienced a lot of pain did I realize that I did have an ego. And for me, it wasn't an ego of, you know, being mean or being a certain way personality. It was just the focus was on me. What can I make? What can I create? What can I have? So the soul was being overrun or bullied by my ego. And when my ego wasn't listening, my soul was kind of like, you know, hey, ego, you might want to make some changes here. You're doing quite well. My ego was not really listening. So it seems that life had plans for me, and my ego said, if you're not going to listen, I'm going to pull the rug from you. And that's exactly what happened. So I think my soul pulled the rug from me, and it was really from my ego, which was again quite painful.
Right.
But now life is, I'm listening. And I think that's a big thing for me, was I'm awake. You know, at 40 is when I went below zero, wife and kids and a big home and all that good stuff. And you know, going below zero was very difficult, and it was a time for me to really connect with my soul, which was about the meaning of life. So I spent half my life chasing money at that time, to 40. I then made a commitment to myself to spend the rest of my life doing something different, making a difference, contributing, and making life about more than just me.
And that's a big transition to make out of the business world, right? Of taking that ego, and you're no longer, you know, that was probably your identity at that point. And the same thing happens with athletes, right? And once that identity gone, it strips you, you know, it strips you down. And then you need to, you know, to make a change, or you're just going to continue being stripped down to nothing else. How is, you know, making that change, like you said, from being focused all about you at 40 to focus on all about we? Talk to us a bit about that. And, you know, that probably what spurned your current coaching business, correct?
That's exactly right. When we started off with a quote, so I'll add to that momentum. I don't know who said this, but it's a quote that I believe in. And the quote is, lives fall apart when they need to be rebuilt. So I believe that my life fell apart because it really needs to be rebuilt. It's not who I was as an identity. My behavior, my ego was quite, you know, aggressive and out there trying to make money, but my soul was being left out. So the transition was, I'm still going through it because it was an identity change. And when I say I'm still going through it, I'm still learning a lot about who I am, where I came from, what I experienced, and the learning that has come from that has just been tremendous. My life experience has been probably my biggest learning experiences, but that shift of me being open. So when I lost everything, I had a defining moment. I was in Florida visiting with friends, trying to see who could help me, and my ego was busy on trying to call in favors, and everybody was busy and nobody had any time for me. And I remember sitting on an airplane, Southwest Airlines, coming from Florida back to New York, and I was looking out the window and the flight attendant was making her speech about, you know, in the event of X happening, and she had the oxygen mask, and I'm saying to myself, it was probably my ego, I know this, that if something goes wrong and you're traveling with your kid, you know, you put your oxygen mask on your kid. And she said how it is about putting it on yourself first. So that was a defining moment for me. And that's when everything changed, where I was like, in order for me to be good for my family or for everybody, I got to take care of Rob. And that was a defining moment where I transitioned into really getting focused on fitness. I enrolled in CrossFit at the age of 40. And we know that sport is dominated by 20 and 30 year olds. And I got in the best shape of my life physically. I also enrolled in classes in New York City to learn about NLP, your thoughts, your feelings, success, modeling, and all that great stuff. And I started eating good. So I didn't know where I was going. I just knew that wherever I was going, I didn't need to be physically fit, mentally fit, and nutritionally fit. And that's what really got me through it to where I am today. Now I'm really lucky. I'm one of the luckiest guys out there. I get to hang out with really smart people who are very successful. And we work on being even more successful. And hopefully some of my experience that I've encountered, I can help others prevent, like getting that ego and that soul in line so that others don't make mistakes that could lead to something that was similar to mine. And then with, you know, the status sports, that's just another opportunity to help others to achieve their dreams. So yeah, big transition, big shift, so much to learn. And I'm still learning today, Ken.
You know, we're the same age, right? 46 years old. And it's, I think I'm more curious now than I was, you know, in my 20s and 30s. Right. And I think, you know, it sounds like you were the same, and it's like, how do you grow? How do you get better? How do you become a better athlete? Like in my body says I'm 46, but to me, you know, and use CrossFit, for example, I feel like I've been doing it for 5 years and I still feel like a beginner, and it's having that beginner mindset it's sort of fun. And it does strip the ego away, because all of a sudden, you know, you're no longer, you know, kicking ass in one way or another. It's like, huh, you know, it was. I remember when I started CrossFit, it was the most humbling thing I'd ever done. I had, you know, won tons of races and endurance races and this type of stuff. And next thing you know, I go there and I'm like, my mobility didn't let my hips go down like below close to 90 degrees. I couldn't get my arms above my head with a PVC pipe. And, you know, they had me doing overhead squats with a PVC pipe. I'm like, what is this? And it was awesome. It was like, wow, it's, you know, I'm a beginner again. I can try, you know, I can screw up. And, you know, and the funny thing is, CrossFit, Bikram yoga, on your bike or whatever, people aren't judging you at all, because they're all just hurting just as bad as you are. So it's people think it's a safe place. They're going to be embarrassed if they go there and do that. And it's just the opposite. It's probably the safest place, because you're hiding in the middle of everyone else who's in, you know, the same physical pain that you're in. Even the best guys are hurt just as bad as you, right? What Greg LeMond used to say, it doesn't hurt any less, you just go faster. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And it's that belief, right? The belief that you can do it. I'm with you. When I first went to CrossFit and they gave me that plastic, you know, PVC and hold it over your head and just do a squat, I fell over. I fell forward. The mobility was an issue for me. And same thing. And getting outside your comfort zone was significantly important for me. And I'll share something with you too. I know your podcast is performance, it's athletics, it's about fitness, it's about success and all these other great things. And how I can't help but notice now more than ever how being fit, performing, getting outside your comfort zone is so important to help us in life. My daughter had said to me one day, you know, she's not the most athletic, even though she does have some talent. And I was encouraging her to run one day, just go running. And she said, Dad, that's not fair. You run, you know, because you enjoy it. And I said, hey, hold on a second, Jane. I said, who told you I enjoy running? And she's like, well, you do it. You do it all the time. I just assume that you enjoy running. I said, well, that's not necessarily true. I said, I run because of the way it makes me feel when I'm done. Like, and it gets my blood flowing and my clarity of my thoughts and my energy level. And it helps me accomplish more and do more. So I said, I run because of what it does for me. I said, quite frankly, running is a little bit boring for me. I like a little bit more intensity than just the repetition of running. So I think that is, you know, something really important is like, why do we do this? Why do we go to the gym? Why do we run? Why do we perform? And for me, it's necessary for me to get that clarity and energy so I can go out there and contribute and help others to be successful, including my daughter and my son and my wife, my friends and my clients. So in my lifestyle now, being fit is critical so that I can get to my best, so I can help others.
No, exactly. And talk about that in your coaching business. Are you, when you're working with these high level people, are you talking about the importance of fitness and health and all that?
Good question. It's not in the brochure, put it that way. And when I am coaching, I coach senior leaders, and you're talking about individuals who are successful. They're knowledgeable. They're very good at what they do. They're successful in their field. So the things that they can improve on aren't necessarily big things. They're minor things. So what we typically do is we just hit the pause button and we just look around. What does success mean? Where are you really going? What do you want to achieve? What's your ambition? And through those conversations, they typically lead to being a better version of yourself. And part of that is doing something for yourself healthy. So we don't start off, and it's not part of the curriculum or part of the brochure, but 75-80% of the times I work with executives and senior leaders, they choose to be more fit. They choose to be more athletic and take care of themselves more, because they're reflecting about themselves and how, when they are better versions of themselves, they can perform better on the job and for the organization that they represent.
And that makes all the difference in the world to have that energy and have that feeling. And like you said, I think being fit instills confidence as well. I think a lot of people, you know, that it just allows you, number one, to just feel better, but number two, to, you know, getting confidence in your body and getting confidence sort of in your mind. And like you said, clarity and the importance of it. And yeah, no one likes going running. Very few people enjoy going out and going, you know, to hammer out the miles. But people, you know, it's all about that feeling. What's that create, right? It's sort of a metaphor in school. It's, you know, no one loves studying, but they love getting an A on a test. So, you know, it's that feeling that you're looking for.
Yeah, that's right. I know still to this day, sometimes in the morning, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm laying in bed and I'm saying to myself, looking at my sneakers, saying, Rob, you got to go for a run. And that's when it begins. You know, if you could jump inside my head, it's almost like a yelling match. Part of me is like, you got to get up and go running, right? And the other part's like, no, you don't. You can just relax because you were up late last night. You had a busy week. That if you lay in bed for a while, you'll get this rest you need. And the other side of me is literally saying, no way, that ain't happening. You go for a run and you're going to feel better and your day's going to start off. So I literally get lost in the thought of how I'll feel after I run. So if I could just get my mind to think about how I'll feel when I'm done, I'm tying up my laces and I'm heading out for a run. And before you know it, I've made the right decision. But it's not always an easy decision. There's a lot of dialogue going on sometimes.
No one has ever come back from a workout and say, I never wished I didn't do that, right? Unless you injure yourself or get hit by a car or something like that. But for the most part, most people don't come back and say, oh, that was terrible. And I'm so, you know, I wish I never did that. It's impossible. It's, you know, getting your blood flowing, getting thinking, getting the clarity. And it could just be going for a walk. It could just be getting outside or just going to the gym or whatever you need to do.
That's right.
So you,
that's
you
know, right. if
go for it.
I was just going to add to that, that, you know, even with clients, we'll just take a simple thing and we'll do a cost benefit analysis. You know, it's just this simple exercise where you think of the cost, like, what am I giving up to do this? And then you look at the benefits, and even if it's just getting up and go for a run, then you list the benefits of doing it. Like, when I go for a run, this will happen. And the list goes on and on and on. And then when you look at one or two things, it's a temporary feeling or it's just some sort of an excuse. So typically, if you look at it as a score in an event, the score is typically 19-3. So when your mind just starts thinking about all the benefits and you compare it to the cost, it's almost a no-brainer. The next step is typically something in the right direction.
Right. That's exactly it. Let's shift gears a little bit. You and I have been talking about this thing, Status Sports. You're building a clothing brand, but you're also, you know, doing some changes in schools around fitness for kids and everything else. Tell us a little bit about that and what you're launching.
Yeah, that's my passion project. Super excited about that. It's Status Sports, and Status, the best way to really describe it, I could talk about this all day long. If the American dream were a brand, what would it look like? Like, what would it be doing? And that's really what Status Sports is. It's that spirit inside the American dream. And it's really, if you break it down, it's about dreaming, believing, and achieving. So it was more of an idea and a concept that evolved over the course of time. And it is an inspirational brand, and it's based off of the American dream, again, as if it was a brand. And it's more of an evolving, and it's broken down into three pieces. One is the apparel, and it's really the way to generate revenue. Make really nice, luxurious, functional, athletic apparel made in America, represents craftsmanship, because we don't have that currently. And that's just the one piece. That's the revenue maker. The other part is the biggest part, which is going into schools and putting on programs that help kids achieve their dreams. How to be physically fit, mentally fit, nutritionally fit, which are things that I personally experienced when I lost everything. The only way I got through that was because of that simple structure of my dreams, what I believed in, and what I did to achieve those things. So Status Sports is something that's really, really important to me. It's not about me, but as being a movement to start talking more about dreams, talking about what we're doing to achieve those dreams, and the idea of creating something here in the States that's representing American craftsmanship. You know, when I traveled a lot overseas and I was in the Middle East, you know, when I was in Dubai, you can't help but notice all the brands, whether it's hotel brands or watch brands or automobile brands, just every brand in the world is there. And that's kind of when the whole idea came about the brand. Like, looking back at the space, there was this brand. What was it? It was, oh my gosh, it was this American dream. It's really the brand. And I'm like, oh my God, this is really the biggest brand in the world. It's just, you know, it's never really developed into a business, so to speak. And then you can't help but notice that if you want a nice suit, you go to Italy. You want a nice watch, you go to Switzerland. You want a nice car, you go to Germany. And then it was like, wait, what about the States? If you want something, where do you come? And then I know me by being in New York City with M&M's, or what is it that we make here that represents success or quality craftsmanship? So there's this void, there's something missing. And we put together a team of designers and people who can create something really beautiful, very functional, made in the United States. So it's pre-revenue and we're launching in the spring. And we should be developing these programs to be in schools by the summer into the fall. And from there, I believe that we're going to have a significant impact, not only here in the States, but an inspiration around the world.
Wow, that is awesome. And that's pretty unique, right? I think, you know, leveraging the, you know, funding it through the apparel and through the product for these programs, right? It's usually one or the other. And I love that combination of the two, is using both to really, you know, to grow your name, grow your recognition, but also to really give back and do some good.
That's right. And that is the DNA, right, to achieving anything in life. If you really take a look at the American dream for a minute, and you look at the simple structure, not what people want you to believe, because it's been taken hostage by Wall Street and mortgage industry and banking, and this is the American dream, and you should have this and do this, and all these suggestions and hijacking. When you take a look at what it really is, you go back in time, a long time ago, there were people all over the world that had this dream, this vision about them having a better life somewhere else. And then they believed in it. And they took a chance and they left everything. And they started to achieve and work hard and believe in that dream. So the simple structure of the American dream is, first, is to have a vision and a dream, then to believe in it, and then to achieve it. So that is the simple structure of it. So if that's true, as a brand, well, what are you really doing? You know, it's the uniform of success, that when you wear it, it reminds you or inspires you to achieve your dreams, the anchor. And then it's about getting out there and helping others to achieve their dreams. So, you know, I can't help but notice that when you look around outside, you can see the division. You can see this world of addiction of technology and abuse to pharmaceuticals and food, and just, you know, whether it's kids with bullying and anxiety and obesity, I just feel these problems. And I see status as an opportunity to overcome those problems. So any one of those problems can be addressed through the simple structure of the American dream, to have a dream and to believe it and achieve it. And I believe that our youth is the best opportunity to create a better tomorrow. There's another quote, is that, you know, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The next best day is today. So if we really want to have an impact on the future, we really have to start today. And I think our youth is going to be our best chance at that, is to have these programs where it's about kind of taking what I went through, is what's possible when you're physically fit, when you're strong, what's possible when you're confident and you're happy, and what's possible when you're healthy through nutrition. I think everything becomes possible when you have that foundation for success. So it's my belief that we can create that and bring that to schools and the youth, to have them engaged and to participate in this so they can achieve their dreams. So as long as they're focused and we get them opening up, talking about what they want to be, what they want to have in life, well, the best way to do that is to get strong, happy, confident, and
no, and I think, you know,
achieve your dreams.
And fortunately or unfortunately, that's not taught in today's schools, right? It's here, you're taught to pass some tests at the end of every, you know, every other grade, and that's about it. And it's not, you know, teaching people how to eat well, or teaching people how to, you know, think about their goals and where they want to go, and doing that. And I think, you know, that's the type of programs that we need here, is to really get people to think outside the box and to go after that. And, you know, there's a bit of an extreme with it going on, but that's sort of like the 1%, right? People here leave high school and go straight to work for XYZ startup, or, you know, Google or Apple or whoever it is. But for the rest of us, it's, you know, really realizing, all right, I need to be in control. I need to control what I put in my mouth, what feeds my mind, and what feeds, you know, what's going to feed me in the future.
Couldn't agree more.
What about, so yeah, this is crazy. We're up almost over a half an hour at this point. where can people find more about, you know, Robert Paulson and Status Sports and, you know, get some more details, and I'll post all this, you know, on the show notes as well. But where can people find out more about you if they want to reach out to you and continue conversation?
Yeah, reach out to me, email robert@robertpaulson.coach, and or just pay attention. I think people are going to hear more about Status just by listening and seeing. But robert@robertpaulson.coach is the best way.
Wow, that is awesome, Robert. And if you could give one piece of advice that you give all to your coaching clients in closing, what would your piece of advice be?
Dream.
Perfect.
Dream big. Absolutely. Dream big.
This was awesome. And if anyone has any, you know, questions, comments, concerns, feel free to reach out to me at kenandtheexecutiveathletes.com. But Robert, it was awesome to have you on the show.
Ken, you're awesome. Thank you.
Perfect. And make sure everyone goes out there and crushes it. And like Robert said, dream, but physically go out there and get outside your comfort zone. Have a great week. Bye.